Let us open the Word of God in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. As you reach it, you'll see that this is the story of Naaman the leper, a man who had a massive problem. And if you were to look at my outline for later on, you would see the heading, How to Solve a Problem. Naaman did all the wrong things, like we do. And he came to God's way right at the last. 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 1 to about 15. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the island, out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them, and be clean? So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servant came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down, and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. We'll stop there because we've covered the main parts of it, and at least he came back to the man of God. God will add his blessing for reading this word. How to solve a problem. And we've just learned from Naaman how not to solve a problem. Unfortunately, we follow that way too much. We all have problems, many and varied. In many departments of our lives, problems arise. Some are easy to solve. Some are well nigh impossible. Many people go through life with problems they never solve. Sad. And sometimes problems destroy their happiness, even taking the life. We know how many end in suicide. It's very sad. Well, what's your problem? Or what are your problems? Some problems I can't help you with. Like if you want to pick a winner for next Saturday, leave me out of it. I can't solve that problem. Or if you want more money and you don't know how to get it honestly, leave me out of that too. If you want to go on strike for more money and less work, well, the scripture says, at least to a Christian soldier, be content with your wages. That's God's answer. But if you're genuinely short of money, and if you need it for a purpose that will glorify God, and you're offering him at least a tithe, then the problem-solving method I have for you will work. But that's only one problem. We need to look at many. Well, today you'll see 5 points on the outline, and I've actually called this the five-finger exercise of victory. The five-finger exercise. If you ever learnt the piano, you know what I'm talking about, the five-finger exercise. We'll go through them one at a time. Number one, admit. Admit. Admit to yourself that you have a problem. Come out in the open with yourself. It might sound obvious, but you know, many people fail right here. They won't admit that they have a problem. Now, on a few occasions, I've had the opportunity to minister to alcoholics, and it would generally follow this procedure. I'd sit beside him and I'd lovingly say, "Do you have a problem with alcohol?" "Oh no, I could quit any time." See? Won't admit that he has a problem. And I think the first step in the AA program is to admit that you have a problem. Way back, we were preaching in the open air in Crown Street, Wollongong. Now, we did it for 18 years here at Bankstown Station, but I'm going back a little further. Here we did it Saturday morning. Down there we did it Saturday evening, and we seemed to be magnetic for the drunks. They seemed to come. And one day, one evening, after we preached and we were packing up ready to go on to another meeting, there was a drunk, and he was propping up the shop. I can't imitate them too well because it's outside my experience, but that was the picture. And as we were starting to move away, at the top of his voice he said, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." How did he learn that? He had a problem, he wasn't admitting. And then on another occasion when we had an evangelistic meeting, and we were singing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And there in the back row was a drunkie, singing with great gusto, "It is well with my soul." Nearly collapsing. Well, it wasn't well with his soul, was it? So, if you've got a problem, I'm not suggesting yours is alcohol, but that's the image, that's the picture, the dynamic. Admit that you've got a problem. Okay, so what's your problem? Does someone get on your nerves? Admit it. Are you falling behind the Joneses? You can't give up with the Joneses? Admit it. Yes, it may require a little honesty. It's hard on the ego. It's brutal on the pride. But you've got to admit it if you've got a problem. Are you unable to keep your temper? Have you a bad habit that you wish to break? Admit it. Confide in yourself, first of all. Take yourself aside and have a little chat. Are you disappointed in your own witness? Have you got a load of guilt? Is there a secret sin that you don't wish to part with? Are you a worrier? Always anxious? Do you get caught up with the mob? you do things to impress people and then you get disgusted with yourself. Whatever it is, and I'm probably only touching the surface, admit it. Step number one, the step of honesty, admit it. Does your conscience trouble you? Do you have sleepless nights? Do you imagine people talking about you? Whatever your problem, admit it to yourself. Take it in both hands and look at it squarely. You can even have a talk to yourself if you like. The Lord's listening, but you're talking to yourself. I do that. Sometimes I say, I'll talk to myself. I'll let you listen in today. Brian Godfrey Wenham, you're lacking in spiritual power. Now you've strayed from God's will somewhere. Face up to yourself and let's get right. Some kind of honesty there, isn't there? The first step along the road towards solving a problem is to admit that you've got a problem. That's point one in the five-finger exercise. If you're not yet saved, you've got a real problem. You've got a massive problem. Eternity awaits. You must admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you need to be saved. Admit that you can't save yourself. When you admit to yourself that you have a problem, you're admitting that you have a need and that you cannot help yourself. You're reaching the place where God can help you. That's where you're reaching, that place. You must admit the problem and the need. All right, second finger, confess. You probably saw that coming. Confess to the Lord God. Confess to him that you have a need. Confession of sin is only part of the picture. Confess to the Lord that you've got an aching heart, aching fit to break. Confess to the Lord that Job Logs drives you up the wall, whatever it might be. When you're confessing to the Lord, you're starting to let someone share the load with you. He's just waiting. God never meant us to bear it alone. He's just waiting for you to let him in on the problem. That's what he wants. Open up. Let him in. Two men went into the temple to pray. You've heard this. Jesus told this. It's not a story. It's fact. These two men went into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. Both of those men had appalling needs. Think about it. The Pharisee told God what a good Pharisee he was and how well he was doing. His needs did not even get a mention. He went home empty. He went home unhelped. The publican was so overwhelmed with his own need that he had to share it or die. He was bowed down with his problem. It had shattered his pride. He was broken before God and he was ready to confess. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the way to go. That's the only way to get God's answer. He went home with his problem solved. Let God in. He loves you. Tell him your problems. In fact, as you confess it, as you tell God your problems, you're sort of like throwing it down and spreading it out, and there you can deal with it. Tell the Lord about that secret sin. He already knows, but he wants you to tell him. He wants you to admit it to him, confess to him. He sees it and it grieves him, but he's waiting for you to share it with him because he loves you. In fact, there's a good scripture here that I'll share with you, and I'll turn it up and read it. 1 Peter chapter 5, well, it's on the list on the outline. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It's worth taking on board. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Not just confession of sin, but confession of need. Confession of the cares that you have. Tell him. He's waiting to hear. No matter what it is, If it bothers you, share it with the Lord. Just tell him. If it's a great worry about a loved one, share it with the Lord. Confess it. Get it out in the open between you and the Lord. Stop struggling. Stop agonizing. Open up and let him in. So, admit, confess. Now, number three, believe. Believe that God can meet your need, for he can, surely, certainly. See that God has already provided for your need in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided for your need. In fact, there's a promise, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a promise for you. Believe. And quite often, when I'm counselling someone, we're sitting there with the open Bible and I say, read that. And this person reads it and I say, when you read something like that, say, Lord, I believe. Every time you read something like that, say, Lord, I believe. Believe. Believe that God can meet your need. See in the Word of God the wonderful place that God has put his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the centre of history. He's the focus of the Bible. He's the head of the church. He's the Lamb on the throne of heaven. He's exalted in time and eternity, Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the apple of the Father's eye. He loves you. He came to earth and he bore witness to the Father by his works. He obeyed the Father's will. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. And God says he'll supply all our needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. Believe. It's by faith. What's your problem? A load of guilt? Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to scriptures. And he was seen by many faithful witnesses. Is your problem temptation to sin? Well, he arose the third day. He arose from the dead according to scripture. There's power in his risen life. Receive him. Receive his power. And I'll read this one too. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. It's a good one. Well, they're all good. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit raised the dead. He can raise you. He can quicken you. Give you all power. Wonderful verse. The power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead can raise you above sin. It's the same power. Believe. Simply believe. Believe. Are you overwhelmed with life? Here's another one. Matthew 11:28-29. Matthew 11:28-30, actually. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. There's problems. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Believe. What about fear? Is that your problem? The Word of God says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, says the Lord Jesus. What about assurance? Do you need assurance? John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hath everlasting life. You've got it. You've got it. When you believe in him and receive him. And I always like to emphasize 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know. That's assurance. That's God's assurance for you. For you. What about loneliness? Is that your problem? The Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's the answer to your problem. He's there. He's with you. What about fear of death? Fear of death. That plagues people, some people. Well, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Might be an idea if we read the whole lot. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, this is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that was where Lazarus was raised from the dead. By someone, the Lord Jesus, who was raised from the dead himself. There's nothing to fear in death. Well, any problem, whatever it is, great or small, can be met in him. There's a scripture verse been turned into a chorus. He is able. He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able. Wonderful. Believe. Believe. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth for them. That's Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's where he is now. He's praying for you. He's helping you with your problems. He's right there in the glory. And whenever you confess a sin, he says, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. And whenever you admit and confess to him that you've got a problem, Father, help him. Help him. Let's help him. That's intercessory prayer. The intercession of the great intercessor, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, admit, confess, believe. Now, number four, receive. Receive God's ample provision. Receive what God has done in Jesus Christ. And what God has done is offered to you as a gift. A gift. All you have to do is receive it. Receive a gift. The wage of sin is death, that's what you earn. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a gift. You don't earn that, you receive it. If you need eternal life, and if you've been through all the steps with me thus far, admit, confess, believe, you now receive it. Receive the gift of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. You receive a gift. As many as received him. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you receive all these gifts, particularly the gift of eternal life. As many as received him, to them gave he power. That means authority power to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now, I unfortunately was not quite an eyewitness, but I was close to what this happening. There was a boy who was under teenage, and he played up. And there was a pastor, should have known better, trying to counsel him, pat him on the head, and he said, always remember, boy, you're a child of God. Well, he wasn't. He was a child of the devil. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who distinguishes. He's a child of the devil till he becomes a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's keep it clear. Yes. To become a child of God, receive God's Son. That's the only way to become a child of God. If you have a need, simply receive God's supply. My God shall supply all your need. It's a promise. Perhaps you might confess in terms like this and plead with him, Father, I have a terrible temptation. You promised to supply power to overcome. I believe, Father. I believe, and I now receive what you have for me. I see the answer in Jesus, and I receive the resurrection power into my own life. I receive it. Receive it. You receive a gift. Now, if you were to be receiving a material gift, suppose it's your birthday, suppose it's Christmas, and someone comes to the front door and you let that person in, and that person has a gift for you. You see the gift, you believe it, but you make no attempt to receive it. The person doesn't know what to do. He or she puts it on the sideboard. It's your gift, it's there. It's not yours until you receive it. It's not your gift. Might have your name on it, but it's not your gift till you receive it. Till you receive it. Yes. Now, we don't work that way, do we? When someone comes to the door with a gift, oh, thank you so much. God bless you. We receive it. Why don't you do that with the things God offers you? Receive them. Another thing, too, I've used this illustration a little bit, but particularly coming up to Christmas, if you've got a Christmas tree or something where the family gifts are all put together, ready for Christmas Day, and there are gifts there under the tree with your name, they're your gifts, but they're not yours. They're not yours till you receive them. And so it is with the gifts that, and the provision that God is offering. It's not yours till you receive it. Lord, I receive it. I receive the Lord Jesus. I receive all the gifts that he offers. Receive it. Receive them. The power comes because the Lord Jesus has entered the holiest of heaven to represent you there. He's there praying for you. And you can share with him your problems. He's in the right place for you. Will you be in the right frame of mind for him? How did he enter there? By his own blood. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's Hebrews 9:12. It's on your list. As a matter of fact, he offers you a whole new nature. What a gift! We need to be made over again. We can receive it as a gift. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God gives, you receive. That's the principle. Well, number 5, give thanks. To give thanks is to demonstrate faith. You thank the Lord as a sign to him and yourself that you believe and that you have received. Normally you give thanks to something that's coming to you. Quite often we're thankful. Receive this, receive that. Thank you very much. I've received. Thank you. Thank you. Try it with God. Give thanks. And you have it. Giving thanks is an act of faith. Let it work for you. There was a time when the children of Israel were being led into the promised land. Moses had died. Now the nation was under the leadership of Joshua. And Joshua, before they went in, God gave him some promises. And one promise is outstanding. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, future, that have I given to you, perfect tense. Now, I'm sorry to stir up the old English grammar that the devil deprived you of at school, but if something's future, I think that's simple. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. That's future. Is that okay? That have I given you. Perfect tense. It's already settled. Still the future, but it's settled. Because God did it. That have I given you. Shall tread, future tense. That have I given, perfect tense. And so the future is already established with God. If he says he'll do a thing, it's done. It's done. If you see something in the word that meets your need, give thanks. It's yours. It's yours. Take him at his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read the word. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's mine. I receive it. Thank you. God said it. That settles it. So you receive it. So that's the five-finger exercise. You can apply this to anything. You can apply it to salvation. If your need is salvation, you can admit that you're a sinner. Confess that you need to be saved. Confess that you've sinned. What God has done. Believe it all. Receive the gift that God has for you. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and become a child of God. And give thanks. Thanks for your salvation. You can apply it to all those other problems that I mentioned and an infinite number more. Make it work. How to solve a problem. I should have put after that on the outline God's way. How to solve a problem, God's way. Because we try so many other ways, like Naaman. But solve it God's way. Amen.